Genesis chapter 6. That's an easy one to find. If you don't have a Bible, there's one in the pew rack. We encourage you to get it. Get to Genesis chapter 6. I don't know, it seems like I've been kind of hung up here on Genesis 6. Preached out of this, I don't know, a little over a year ago, this same chapter. Wonderful story here. Story of Noah. Most of us know about Noah. Most of the world knows about Noah. Do you know that in many cultures where they've not heard of Christ or the Bible or anything, that as they investigate those cultures and their beliefs, they find that in their history that's been handed down from generation to generation, that there's a story of a great flood way back when that destroyed the world. How did they know that? Because it's true. There came a time when God destroyed this old world. And Genesis chapter 6 deals with that particular time. And this man named Noah. We're going to read verses 8 through 22. I want you to follow along with me. Genesis chapter 6, verse 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Let me stop for a minute. I'm always taken with that verse. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. In spite of everything that's going on, in spite of the destruction that's coming, in spite of Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. There's still grace to be had. God's grace is always available. And even in these times when the whole world was filled with sin, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It goes on and says, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth, to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life, from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee, and of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark, to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female, of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing after earth, after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. And let's pray. Father, bless this time we're going to spend in this passage of Scripture. Thank you for the account you've given us of this time when you saw fit to destroy all life, all breathing animals and people from the face of this earth, save those which you put into the ark. Thank you for Noah and for his family and the testimony that they are, the testimony to us of your grace and obedience to you. Now, Lord, there are some things we need to learn from Noah today. And I pray that you'd help us to learn those things, to see those truths about him that would be a help to us and a blessing to us. Father, you've burdened me about this passage and about these things, and I believe you want to speak to your people about it. I pray for those who are here without Christ. We don't doubt that probably some unsaved people in our midst, people who don't have any assurance of heaven when they die, and we're always burdened to see them come to Christ and know Christ. So we ask that you would work in hearts and lives. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I titled this, Noah, an example of godly character. Noah, an example of godly character. In Genesis chapter 6 through chapter 8, we find the account of God's doing something he had never done before and he promised he would never do again. In those chapters, we have the account of Noah and the flood. Here in those chapters, we find God flooding the earth, causing every person on the earth to perish, except for Noah and his family. Just 8 people. Now imagine, you know, sometimes people say, well, you know, there weren't that many people in those days. I believe the whole world was inhabited in those days. And I believe the society was progressed much further than we could ever imagine or think at this point. But man, it is the Bible says that imaginations of his only heart were only wicked continually. Sin just abounded, except for with one man and his family, 8 people. Now, as this narration begins, God reveals to us that mankind had become exceedingly wicked, sinful. As I said, the Bible says that every imagination of man's hearts and minds was only evil continually. Humanity had become so wicked that God actually sorrowed that he had made man. And he decreed that he would destroy man, wipe him from the face of the earth. And then we come to that wonderful verse, verse 8. And I see verse 8 as it's kind of a bright shining light out of a surrounding darkness. It's like a glimmering gem on a totally black background. Here we find the first mention of the one man who stood apart from all the wickedness of his day, Noah. Here the Bible tells us that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, understand with me, Noah came from a very godly family. And apparently Noah learned early in his life to walk with God and know God. Noah, no doubt, lived for the Lord, and now God is about to destroy all of mankind, but this one man that he could find on the earth who would live for him. He showed him grace. You know, we read about Noah, and God showed him grace, and if you've read about Noah, you know that he was not a perfect man. But in chapter 7, verse 1, we learn this about him. He was a righteous man. The Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Here was a man who, though he lived in a sinful, wicked world, he was a man who lived to please God and found favor with God. What was it that made him so? Well, as we look at the life of Noah, we find he was a man who, I believe, had great godly character. He was a man whose life was punctuated with character traits that brought him, allowed him to find favor with God. Today, I believe Noah is a great example to us in this matter that we all should be believers with godly character. Godly character seems to be a thing lacking in the lives of many believers today. And so this morning I will look at Noah, and I want to see his example to us of being a Christian, being a believer with godly character. How can I do that? Well, number one, we can do so by being unwavering in our walk. Noah was a man who walked with God in spite of being surrounded by wickedness. The Bible says he was a just man. Look there, if you will, at verse 9 or 10. I'm sorry, verse 9. And these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man. Let me explain something to you. When the Bible says Noah was a just man, it's talking about he was justified by God. Over in the book of Peter, we read something about the man Lot. How many of you know who Lot was? I would not call Lot a spiritual man. I would not call Lot spiritual in any way. He was a very carnal man, but he was a believer in God. And over in Peter, it talks about Lot, and it calls him just Lot. It's talking about he was justified by God. Listen, justification by God is not something we can do for ourselves. And it's not something we do because of anything we are. The justification that God offers us and gives us is that when we come to Jesus Christ and accept Him as our Savior, God declares us to be free from sin. He declares us to be justified. Somebody has said it means to be just as if I never sinned. When God sees me, He does not see sin. He sees an Art Gilmore that's justified. He sees me as one who has no sin to his account. Now, do I sin? I hate to admit it, but we all do. But see, God, as the righteous judge, has now declared me to be justified. He makes the declaration. It has nothing to do with me other than I know Jesus Christ as my Savior. And based on that, God can now say, you're just as if you never sinned. You see, God will never hold one sin against me. God don't even remember my sins. The Bible says he's hid them behind his back and buried them into the deepest sea that they not be remembered against me. So when it says Noah was a just man, this was an action God did. It's an action that God declared him to be a just man. I wanted you to understand that. Because it says something else about Noah here. It says, these are the generations. No, he was a just man. But then it says, and perfect in his generations. Now we're moving from what God did for Noah, declaring him to be just. Now we're moving to what Noah did to be called the perfect man that he is there, declared to be perfect in his generations. What is he talking about there? Well, we might say it this way. Noah was found to be without blemish, found to be not morally corrupt while he's living in a morally corrupt world. In other words, he had a squeaky clean testimony. That's what it's saying about him. When it says Noah was perfect in his generations, Noah did not allow himself to take on the ways and wickedness of those around him. Noah was a man who kept him and his family separated from the ways of the rest of the world. Picture this. You and your family are the only ones in this whole world who are willing to take a stand and live for God. Over 7 billion people. Pastor Meyer just showed me the other day. There are now over 7 billion people in this world. That's a lot of people. I wouldn't want them all coming for dinner. But think about this. How would it be if out of all 7 billion people, I'm talking about all the countries of the world and in America with our 300 million, and out of those, our little city here of East End in the Lehigh Valley, and then we bring it down to your neighborhood. If out of all those, you and your family were the only ones that could be found living for God. Thinking to get lonely? You think it'd be a battle? That's what Noah's living. But understand this, the Bible says he maintained his separation from the world. He would not compromise, he would not give in. Though he was the only one, he was willing to be the only one. Can I just digress for a minute here? You might be the only one down there where you work. Don't ever let that change. You might be the only one in your family who's going to live for God. You might be the only one in your neighborhood. You might be the only one in your school. You might be the only one. Don't ever let that change. That's what Noah did. Hey, sometimes it gets cold and lonely, doesn't it? Huh? Sometimes you just feel like, you know, I'm the only one. Well, yeah, you might be. But don't let it change. Don't compromise. Don't be willing. Noah stood where he was supposed to stand. Look what else it says about him. He says, Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And I like this. And Noah walked with God. You know, I don't know of a better epitaph that somebody could put on my tombstone. If somebody had to put something as an epitaph on my tombstone, if somebody could put Art Gilmore walked with God. But it says that's what Noah did. Noah walked with God. What's that mean, preacher? Well, Noah was a man who followed God. Noah was a man who let God have leadership in his life. Noah was a man who lived according to God's will and God's ways. Amos 3:3 says this, "Can two walk together lest they be agreed?" When it says Noah walked with God, what that means is Noah was going in the same direction, following the footsteps, was in tune with God in the direction he was going. Noah walked with God. By the way, I'm just going to throw this in. It won't cost anything. But if you'll investigate his history, and I'm going to talk about that in a minute, but Enoch was his great-grandfather. You know what happened to him? He walked with God and he wasn't. Huh? He had a lineage. Noah had a lineage here. An example set before him that he followed in walking with. Hey, dads. Hey. Grandpas. Hey, men. We better set an example for those who are coming behind us. Listen, we need some children who can see their grandpas and their daddies walking with God. We need a generation that can see those around them and the men in the church who are men who walk with God. Noah here has this testimony. And I thought about this. I thought, you know, today we need believers who will be unwavering in our walk. Listen, we need to be squeaky clean in our testimony like Noah was. We need to have consistent Christian lives. I find that, you know, there are some Christians who seems like they walk with God sometimes. But then it seems like sometimes we used to call it fall off the wagon. And they get away from walking with God. And they begin to walk according to the flesh and the things of the world. And hopefully, they'll get revival and they'll get repentant and they'll come back and they'll walk with God again. But listen, friend, it shouldn't be that way. We ought to start walking with God. We ought to keep walking with God with no interruption. Consistently. And you know, there's people around us who are watching and they need to see consistent Christianity. That you don't live as a Christian for a little while, and then you're, you know, who knows what, and then pretty soon, oh, you're back talking about Jesus, and pretty soon you're out in the world again. No. We need some people going to walk with God on a consistent basis. Somebody said this. The person who is right before God through faith in Christ ought to leave that is right before people, for faith without works is dead. Paul wrote something in Titus. Hold your place in Genesis. If you can find Titus, go over there. If you can't, just sit where you are and look intelligent. Titus chapter 2, or 1. Paul writes about people who profess Christianity but don't live Christianity. How many of you know some people like that? They profess Christianity but they don't live Christianity. Here's what Paul says about them in Titus 1:16. He says, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient unto every good work, reprobate. You know what he's saying there? Hey, they say they're a Christian, but their lives don't back up what they're saying. We can profess to be Christians, and really it don't mean a whole lot. Because anybody can profess to be anything they want to be. You can profess to be President of the United States today. By the way, if you will, I'll vote for you. You got to be better than what we have. Did I say that? Yeah, I did. You can profess to be anything you want to be. You can say I'm this or I'm that or whatever. But hey, friend, where's the proof? Where's the evidence? What do you got to back up what you're saying? And see, when we profess to be Christians, then our lives ought to be the proof backing up what we say we are. Jesus said, by their fruits ye shall know them. Picture yourself as a spiritual tree. I'm coming by and I'm saying, is this tree spiritual or not? And I'm looking for fruit. James says, faith without works is dead. You know what James was saying? Listen, the Catholics love to go over there and they say, here's proof, you got to have works to get saved. No, that's not what James is saying. James is saying, if you have salvation, it's going to be proved, it's going to be evidenced by your works. People fuss at us all the time. They say, oh, you fundamentalists, you believe in you have to do this and you have to do that, you know. And wait a minute. All we believe is that a true faith is going to make a difference in your life and is going to be evidenced by your life. Spiritual fruit. If there's no fruit, then apparently there's no root. We know our good works do not save us. We need to keep ourselves separate from the world. We need to do like Noah did and live Christian lives and have a clean testimony, squeaky clean. And we need to walk with God. Follow God. I have a message I preach. Who's leading in your life? Who's leading your parade? Who's calling the shots? You or God? I learned a long time ago, I don't want to be in control of my life. See, one of the things of our generation today is everybody wants to be in control of their life. I don't want anybody telling me what to do. I don't want anybody telling me where I can go or what I can be. Or I'm going to be in control of my own life. And I'm telling you, I don't want to be in control of my life. I want God to be in control of my life. See, I figured this out, and don't you amen, but I figured out I'm not so smart. Huh? I mean, you know, I'm not stupid, but I'm not the brightest bulb in the pack either. But I know somebody who is. And he's offered to be in control of my life and lead me and guide me and direct me and give me wisdom and all those wonderful things. And I just thought, you know, even though I'm not all that bright, I figured out, hey, that's a good thing to do. And so I want to turn my life over to him and let God, you make the decisions. You show me the way. I want to do what you want. I want to do what's your will. I want to go in your direction and just let him have complete leadership in my life. I just want to yoke up with him and get a hold of his hand. Well, by the way, he says he has a hold of my hand, according to Isaiah. But I want to walk like a child, just following him. He'll never lead me wrong. He'll never lead me to where he can't take care of me. Huh? Boy, the best thing in the world you can do is learn to walk with God. Noah learned how to do that, and he has a testimony. Too many Christians want to walk according to their own will. No, 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 1,000 times no. Well, how are we going to have this Christian character? How are we going to have character as a believer like Noah did? Be unwavering in our walk. Be unshakable in our faith. Well, one thing about Noah, he was a man of faith. Over there in Hebrews. Go over to Hebrews if you can find that. By the way, if you can't, just give up. You tried looking intelligent. That didn't work. Yeah, I'm just kidding you. Hebrews 11. Look at verse 7. Now, this is the wonderful hall of fame where God cites these Old Testament saints that walked by faith. They lived by faith. They acted by faith. And in verse 7, he talks about Noah. He says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heirs of righteousness, which is by faith. Listen, Noah was a man of faith. He believed what God said. That's pretty simple, isn't it? He believed what God said. But think about how he believed what God said and what was involved here. Here's Noah, and God comes to him. God says, Noah, I'm going to destroy the whole world. Noah just believed him. And then God tells him how he's going to do it. God to do something he had never done before. He's going to destroy this whole world, and he's going to do it by causing the rain to come and flood the world. Look over at chapter 7, verse 4. He's warning him. He says, now Noah, for yet 7 days, he says, in 7 days, I'm going to cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I've made, I will destroy from off the face of the earth. Noah's a man of faith. God says it's going to rain for 40 days and 40 nights. Do you know Noah had never seen rain? This is the first record of rain ever falling on the earth. Up to this point, God had watered the earth through the dew of the ground. But God says, Noah, it's going to rain. I don't know if Noah even knew what rain was. But God said, I'm going to rain for 40 days and 40 nights and destroy the whole world. And then he goes and tells Noah, you got to build an ark. So Noah, not even knowing what rain is, just believes God that God's going to, I don't know what he's going to do or how he's going to do it, but he said he's going to destroy the whole world. And he tells me to build an ark by faith. I'm just going to obey what he said to do and trust him. And God said, if you'll do that, I'll save you and your family. And he trusted him by faith. He just accepted what God said is true. He's going to flood this whole earth, and I better be ready. You know, it says he believed him by faith. He built the ark. And think about this. 120 years he was building that ark. And think about it now. When people came around, they said, what are you doing, Noah? I'm building an ark. What's an ark? It's this big thing God told me to build. It's supposed to be 3 stories and this long and this high, have a window up there. Well, what's that for? Well, God said it's going to flood the whole earth. Well, how's he going to do that? Well, God said it's going to rain. What's rain? We've never seen rain. Well, I don't know either, but God said. That's faith. Oh, Noah, you're a nut. You've never seen what you're calling rain, and you say God's going to flood. You know how much water it would take to flood the whole world? Where's that going to come from? Rain. What's rain? I don't know. Listen, we know a story, and we just think, oh, yeah, yeah. Hey, wait a minute. This is a man who's going through this. Who's got the naysayers every day coming around? Rain! Never heard of it. You're going to spend your whole life building that big thing and you're going to die and your kids are going to settle on fire. Noah, you're wasting your life. We're all having a ball, man. We are partying hardy. We're drinking the liquor and having the drugs and having the women and we're doing it all. We're having a ball. And you're over there building art. Noah, get with it, man. Come on and have some fun. Noah, by faith, believed God. And he said, no. God said it's going to rain. I don't understand. I don't know what that's all about. I can't explain it. Never seen it. God said it's coming. And he said, I have to build this thing. And if I do, he's going to destroy the whole world and save me and my family. That's faith. And you know, I think about this, and we need to learn to be unmovable and unshakable in our faith. We just need to get back to believing God. The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. The truths of the Bible about heaven, about eternity, the truths about the judgment that's coming for this world. Hey, hey, do you really, really believe? Now think a minute. Do you really believe that all the unsaved people who die without Jesus are going to go to hell for all eternity? I ask if you really believe that, because it seems to me if we really believe that, we would be more adamant about trying to get people saved. If we really believed it. Huh? But isn't that what God said? He said there's coming a time I'm going to destroy all the unsaved. They're going to die and they're going to go to hell and they're going to suffer torment forever and ever. That's what's coming for them. Do you really believe that? You really believe those who trust Christ are going to heaven? I do. I believe it because God said it. Hey, have you ever seen heaven? Anybody in here ever see heaven? Well, how do you know it's there? God said. How do you know you're going there? God said. Wait a minute. You never saw heaven. You don't even know if there is such a place. And you're giving your whole life to living this Bible stuff, believing that you're going to go there? You've never seen it, you don't even know if it's real. Oh, it's real. How do you know? God said. You know what Noah had to do? Listen, friend, we need to be a people of unshakable faith. Why am I saying all this? Because there's a bunch of liberals out there that are trying to steal our faith away. There's a bunch of people trying to explain away everything, all the miracles of the Bible. I've read some of these things that people try to explain away miracles in the Bible. I read something not long ago. One man was explaining how Jesus walked on water. You know what he said? I'm not lying. This is what the man came up with. He's a theologian. He said the way Jesus walked on water was right there where he stepped out of that boat to walk on water. There is some kind of cold spring underneath that brings very, very cold water, and it actually turns into ice at the surface. And right under the surface of the water, there was actually ice that Jesus was walking on. Now, you tell me it don't take more faith to believe that than just believe Jesus can walk on water. After all, he created it. You know, they try to explain away that Moses crossed the Red Sea on dry ground. All the chief, they crossed on the Reed Sea, only 6 inches of water. That's interesting. The Pharaoh's army drowned in 6 inches of water. They try to explain all this away and steal our faith. Listen, friend, I don't care what the world says. I don't care how they ridicule us and mock us and say we're stupid and idiots and backwards and all that kind of mess. I'm just going to believe God. Huh? And we need to get back to that. Don't let the world shake you. Doesn't matter what they call you or laugh at you or ridicule you or mock you. Just be a person of faith. And then notice thirdly, we need to be unstoppable in our labors. Chapter 6, verse 14. God tells him to build this ark, and he goes on, gives him the dimensions, all that's involved. Verse 22, you get to that, and I love this. God tells him, here's how big it is, all this, and then God tells him, you got to lay up all the supplies for all these creatures. And then it says, verse 22, thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. 120 years he spent building an ark. That ark was no small vessel. If you read about it, it was huge. Think about the wood it took to build that thing. Think about the labor it took to build that thing. 3 stories. And no doubt he had to have pens and cages and all that. I remember I went to Sight and Sound that one time and saw Noah. And they had, you know, replicated the ark. And at that, when the flood came, you felt like you were sitting inside the ark. They had created the cages and everything all around you, you know. And you began to imagine how it must have been for Noah. But listen, what God gave him was not an easy task. But yet he was faithful to the task God gave him. He was unstoppable. In chapter 7, verse 5, it repeats it. And Noah did according to all the Lord had commanded him. Noah was faithful to complete the task God had given him. Listen, number one, as believers, we're going to face some pretty difficult tasks. Noah's task is not an easy one. It was going to take a lot of time. It was going to take a lot of energy. It was going to take a lot of resources. God didn't give him some little skippy-doo thing to do. Listen, in our Christian lives, many times God gives us difficult tasks. I'm talking about things that are hard to accomplish, hard to go through, hard to bear, and God allows it to be put on us. But listen, friend, no matter what God puts on us, we need to be willing to stay faithful to it, not give up, not back down, not walk away. Serving the Lord is not always easy. Our tasks often seem greater than our abilities. You know what I was thinking when I thought about that? I thought about some men I read about in the Bible. Let me repeat the statement. Serving the Lord is not always easy. Our tasks are often greater than our abilities. Lord, what you're giving me to do is harder than I can possibly do it. Yeah, that's right. But you know, He's our enablement. And I thought about men like David when he faced Goliath. God sends him out there to face a giant. That's far beyond David's abilities. But David was faithful to do what God told him to do, and God made him able to accomplish what he had. I thought about the Israelites in the city of Jericho. Remember that story? Those walls of Jericho were so thick. Why? They had one woman that lived on the wall. Her house was on the wall. That's how thick those walls were. Great fortified Jericho. Nobody could get in. Nobody could get out. And God told Joshua, go take the city of Jericho. Why, in their own power, there was no way these Jews, these Israelites could take Jericho. But God said, go take it. And God gave them the formula how to do it. And God gave them the wherewithal. And they followed God's plan. And you know what happened to Jericho? The walls came tumbling down. Listen, my friend. God will never call us to do what He does not enable us to do. He enabled Noah to do what He had for Noah to do. And Noah was willing to stay faithful to it, and God was faithful to him. Listen, too many believers just lack the faithfulness, just lack the ability to stay faithful in their work. Can I encourage you in this? When the work is hard, when the rewards are few, and when the future seems bleak, we just need to buckle up and keep on going, because God's in it. Fourthly, how can we have this character like Noah? By being uninhibited in our preaching. You know, Noah was a preacher. How many of you knew that? Well, how do we know that? The Bible says so. Well, I didn't see it there. You got a different Bible, preacher? Well, I just got the good old King James. But you know what happened? I read it. You find all kinds of stuff when you read the Bible. You know, it's not always where you expect it. Go over to 2 Peter. Okay, you're looking intelligent again. Chapter 2. You there? I told you, when you read the Bible, you find all kinds of stuff in it. Here I am over in Peter, and I'm reading, and look what I find about Noah. Verse 5 of chapter 2 in 2 Peter 2. And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Hey, Noah was a preacher. You know what he did? For 120 years, he declared what God said. When people came by, hey, God's going to destroy the world. Hey, you better get right. Hey, you better be ready to get in his ark. God's going to destroy the world. God's upset with the world. You need to repent. You need to turn or you're going to burn. Hey, you know what else about Noah? He didn't water down the message. Huh? He didn't go pussyfooting around. Well, I just don't want to offend anyone. I'd rather see them drown in the flood than offend anyone. Huh? Somebody said to me one time, preacher, you ever thought of being on television preaching? And I thought, yeah, I'd last about 30 seconds. I'm just too hard a preacher. I doubt I could stay on the radio. People would be punching the radio. I'm a hard preacher. I just preach it like it is. Amen. Don't take this wrong, but I'm not afraid to offend people. Amen. I don't try to, but I learned a long time ago the gospel, the Bible, is offensive. Yes. I sat here for a lot of years. Not right here, but I wasn't always a pastor. I sat under Pastor Fidenis preaching 9 years. I went down there to Trinity Baptist Church, Dr. Bob Gray, one of the old let alone preachers. Sat under his ministry 5 years. Huh? I know what it is to hear good, solid preaching and get convicted. Get my toes stepped on. Ooh, I don't like that. Why does he have to say that? Ooh, there he goes again. Huh? Seems like every time I come, he goes down that same row. Yeah? I'm going to keep coming down that row. Because it's what God said. We got some blue. We keep praying for 100. You know, we could fill this building up. Could. If we just change what we're doing and how we're doing it, we could fill this building. We could have to have two services. You really think so? I know so. If that old preacher up there just back up a little bit and quit preaching so hard, and quit preaching about sin, and just start preaching on all the wonderful things God has for us, and moose his hair down a little bit, and get new teeth so he can smile bigger. We're not going to do that. We're not going to compromise the message just to get a crowd. You know, God told me I was to be a tool for Him to build a church. He didn't tell me to build a big church. Would I like to build a big church? Absolutely. So I could get my name in the sword of the Lord? No. So everybody said, hey, that preacher go. No. No, because the bigger the church, the more people we can minister to, win to Christ, and He'd get glory. That's the only reason. Huh? But see, I'm not willing to compromise just to have a bigger church. Noah wasn't willing to compromise. He was a preacher. What did he preach? Righteousness. You know what righteousness is? Being right with God. Doing right. Noah didn't go out there, as I said, with some wonderful, beautiful message. Everything's good today. You know, God loves us all. Let's all dance through the tulips. Blah, blah, blah. He told people, God's fed up with this world. God sees this world is filled with sin and wickedness. And God's about to judge this world. And this old ark's going to be the only way. You better get ready. You better repent. And when that rain starts coming, what rain? Oh, don't go there. But when it starts coming, you better get on this ark. Because it's the only way. Finally, one other thing about Noah, and I'm just going to touch on this. He was a man unmoved by his situation. We don't have time to go there, but if you go over there to chapter 8 and verse 20, we find Noah finally lands on top of Mount Ararat, and the land dries out to the place where Noah can get off the ark. Now, he's been over a year on that ark. Rain 40 days and 40 nights. He had to wait a long time for the water to assuage. And he finally sends out that dove, and that dove comes back with a branch, and he says, hey, we can go. We can go. So they light off that ark on dry ground. The first thing Noah does when he comes off that ark, according to 8 verse 20, I believe it is, builds an altar. What's the point? The point is all that Noah just went through, the flood, the ark, the death, the difficulty of being on that ark. Can you imagine on that ark for a year with all them animals? You ever clean cages? Huh? Yeah. Get around those elephants and hippos and huh? And being closed up with your family for a year. I mean, I love my family, but let's get real. Couldn't even go on deck, you know. But anyway, first thing he does when he gets off that boat is he builds an altar and thanks God. Hey, he's been through a lot. 120 years building an ark, all the ridicule, all the mocking, and then the flood, and then going through the flood things and floating around there and having to take care of them animals and all that. First thing he does, gets on his face and thanks God. You know, we go through some tough situations, we go through some tough things, but we need to recognize this, no matter what our situation, no matter what we go through, we need to be thankful to God. You say, well, it's hard to be thankful. Yeah, have you ever thought about your situation could get worse? Huh? It's bad, could get worse. I told you about the day I had a bad day. It was a bad day from morning to night. And I said to my wife while I went to bed, oh, can't get any worse tomorrow. Wish I'd never said it. I don't say that anymore. You say, what happened? Got worse tomorrow. Listen, count your blessings and be a thankful people. Learn to be content in God's will. That's what Paul said over there in Philippians 4. He learned how to be content. Whether it's a base, whether he abounded, whether he was hungry, whether he had plenty of food, whatever. Content with God's will. Listen, I've got to close it up. But here's the thing. Noah was an example of godly character. Listen, God didn't give us these stories just for nice stories. Just so we could read them to the kids at bedtime. Just so we could have little pictures of the ark in the nursery. God wants us to learn. And we can learn from Noah today. Noah was a man who had godly character. Believer, could you say you have godly character today? If not, man, maybe you need to make some adjustments. Let's bow our heads. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed.